What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 470, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, it helps us out and keeps the podcast rolling along. And with me, right there is
rolling along.
This is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a whole lot.
Dude, I am not a fan of the sun going down.
I know. It's wild.
Dark in here, and it's 5:31 p.m. Well,
there's a super moon tonight, so like the moon right now for me is like really big, really bright, so that was kind of wild. I didn't know that was coming up. But yeah, I've had soccer practice Tuesday and Thursday nights until last week, and we had a game get rescheduled to this weekend, and so I was like, all right, guys, we're going to have practice for this week as well. And then I was like, wait a second, time change, like, totally screwed that up. So
yeah, a lot of times, like, I would like, I'll finish writing a review or something, I'm like, oh, I'll go watch the sunset at the beach, and now like the sunset's at like 4:45.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's not happening.
Nope.
So yeah, and we talked about this like last year, we talked about it, we're like, didn't they like pass the law, but they never got around to change
it? I don't think it actually went it was implemented,
which is horrible things. But in any case, yeah, we're back for another week. We have a lot going on, getting closer and closer to I was thinking about this today too. So we have Black Friday, we have Cyber Monday, but like the same sales are all week.
So yeah.
There's no excitement behind it anymore. There's like, hey, if I'm going to build a new PC, or I'm going to, maybe I need a TV or something, like I'll find a little bit of a sale, but there's never, I mean, I haven't gone out for Black Friday in years.
Oh, no.
But, like, has there been any, like, online, like, door stoppers? Remember, like, you used to go to, like, Best Buy or wherever, and they'd have, like, 10 of something for, like, an insane price.
Right. I don't think that happens anymore.
And there's no excitement anymore.
Well, I mean, I haven't, I haven't gone out on Black Friday morning in I don't know how long, but
yeah, but like
people still do.
I think maybe last year, or the year before, they just started making the sale like an all week thing. There's just no excitement behind it because know, like, I can pick this up at any time. I don't really have any excitement behind getting it.
It's and again, convenience factor. You might actually get more sales though, right? If people don't have to deal with any of that crowd and hassle, like
that was just like part of the fun. I don't know. It just was like a fun thing to do, like. You had your Thanksgiving, and then the next day you'd like wake up early. It was just like a fun thing. And even if you didn't go out, it would be like, oh, let me wake up and get online and like see what I can buy or see what Amazon has.
And you had that Thursday, that newspaper from Thanksgiving, and like it was like just jam packed with all the ads for all the stores. So like after you eat, you're like flipping through it, like planning out your Black Friday shoppings.
Yeah. I just, like I said, there's just no excitement for me behind it. And the sales aren't as good anymore either. Like they're not. And I would love to have like maybe like a Micro Center, or maybe they'll do like an online sale, but it's just like the GPU launches. Like, we only have so many. So let's, and have it actually be on Black Friday, and then actually be for Cyber Monday, have a better deal or something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Old man says, it's been more than a decade since I've gone to a store on Black Friday. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been. I don't remember. It's been a long while.
I don't even know.
But it was fun when we did it.
My thing was always like, for a long time, we did an annual Black Friday LAN party.
Okay, yeah.
So like we would, when I worked at the university, we'd have, the school would be closed for like a week. And so that Friday, it was like, all right, get up early in the morning and LAN party from like 8 a.m. until 2 a.m. the next day. So,
yeah. So, but in any case, that's what's coming up. We're into November. There's so much going on. Ryan and I both are working really hard to get a ton of reviews done for the end of the year. So there's just so much going on. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about this week. We do have our full show notes page that is live on the site right now. So anything that we're talking about this week, we have links to everything. And if you're listening and you want like to reference whatever we're talking about or get more information, everything is linked there. So you can go ahead and reference it later. We'll start with this, because I have it sitting here. This thing.
It's like a keyboard for an alien.
Yeah, it's like,
a xenomorph.
Yeah,
keyboard from Alien.
Futuristic looking keyboard from a company called Gravistar. Let me actually turn this on so we can.
Yeah, the thing looks awesome.
Like
I got pretty good too, I think.
Lighting, there's some pretty cool lighting. Like it's a really unique looking keyboard. And when it comes to products like this, and Gravistar, if you're not familiar, if you haven't gone to their website, like they've really, this is their thing. Like futuristic, alien looking products. All of their products are very much fashioned this way. So they've leaned into this heavily. And when you see brands like this, especially in the tech space, you're like, is it just all show, or actually a good keyboard? Well, for this keyboard, the Mercury K1 Pro, it is actually a good keyboard. So taking a look at this keyboard, it has like the design, as I was just showing you on the screen, like it's just something really crazy futuristic. And this sort of like outer exoskeleton, I guess you would call it, that entire thing is made of aluminum. So it's not like plastic. It's nice aluminum and has this sort of gunmetal color. Like it looks awesome. And then we have these like legs. Like these are what actually will give you your height adjustment on the keyboard. But that looks like, what does that look? That looks like something out of like a sci-fi
Starship movie. Troopers, or you know, is what it like.
Yeah.
Some big beetle type creature. Like,
they actually move too. So like you can adjust them back and forward, and you can see there's lights on them too. Like how cool is that?
I didn't realize there's lights. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So there's lights on them as well. So just like this crazy futuristic design. And again, you can see how that like exoskeleton goes through the side of the keyboard. It looks awesome. And here's the back. It just looks super, super cool. This is going to be a tri-mode keyboard. So you can use it wired. You can use it via Bluetooth. And then they include a 2.4 gigahertz dongle as well. And then for our colorway, we have the Cyberpunk version, which essentially, I don't even know how you would even describe. It's like gray, blue, purple design on the keycaps, and the keycaps are like all over the place. Like it's pretty crazy. One of the crazier looking keycap designs. Now these keycaps are PBT keycaps, but they're pudding style keycaps. So only the top part of the keycap is actually has the legend on it. And then it's sort of like see-through, and you'll see that as we get into the lighting, you can kind of see them there, but pretty cool to see that as well. This is going to, also have up in the corner here, it has this little sort of volume multimedia little knob here as well. So you get your multimedia controls. I didn't mention this is a 75% keyboard as well, which probably is my favorite these days, because it's like the perfect size, not too small, not too big, still gives me everything that I want. Yep. So you do have that. And then for our switches here, so the switches are the Gravistar Kale Speedy Mint linear switches. So those have an actuation force of 45, and they're going to have a pre-travel of 1.2 millimeters and total travel of 3.5 millimeters. Fully hot swappable keyboard, fully hot swappable design on this as well, as you can see. So you can swap these out if you want to. And then here is the actual breakout of the keyboard itself, showing the different layers, multiple layers of foam and everything like that, giving this a really good sound profile. So again, we see a lot of these like kind of gimmicky looking keyboards, and they're not designed well. They're not designed to sound good or feel good, but this one, as you can see, is actually designed quite well, which I really do like. And then on the bottom, again, sort of like that futuristic sort of design, there is a place for the 2.4 gigahertz dongle, which I love, because if you're taking this with you, you're going to misplace that little dongle. So I like that there as well. And again, no pop-out feet, because the feet are, again, like the, you know, these like futuristic looking feed here. So really cool. I did want you to see, Ryan, I wanted you to see the, they have this version of the keyboard that's orange. That's like, it's kind of like, I don't know what they're calling it. This one. It looks super cool. Oh wait, that's not the one. This one. This one is the, oh, my internet is just
Battle Horn Yellow.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Yeah. Well, my internet's super slow, but we'll get back to that as I go into this. But the cool thing about this, again, one of the big things is going to be the lighting as well with those pudding style keycaps here. Again, you can see the lighting go through, which is super, super nice. Full per key RGB lighting. As you can see, it just looks awesome. And then the front edge of the keyboard, as well as, or the sides, the front edge, and you have your lighting on the side here, on the legs, that all lights up as well. So you can see what that, I mean, it just looks so cool sitting on your desk. Yep. I mean, this thing just looks awesome. So it's, like I said, just a great looking keyboard, but it feels really good and it sounds really good too. So in the review, we do have a sound test so you can hear what it sounds like, but it has a really nice and thawky sound. So if you're a fan of that, you're definitely going to like this keyboard. The software,
you didn't like it?
I mean, it's all right. It's nothing great. It's nothing to write home about. It's not nothing crazy. But you can use the software in wireless mode. When it comes to a lot of like these tri-mode keyboards, you have to use them via USB to use the software. You can use this wirelessly using the 2.4 gigahertz dongle. So you can fully reprogram the keyboard, full built-in macro editor. You can change the lighting, all of that. I wasn't able to change the lighting around the keyboard to be RGB for some reason. And there's no way to change that effect, which some people who review the keyboard say they were able to do. I was not able to find it in the software, so I'm not sure what's up with that. But the outer lighting still looks good just in the white color, in my opinion. And yeah, I think it's a really good keyboard. It is expensive.
Yep.
At $200, that is an expensive keyboard. But I mean, that aluminum exoskeleton just looks great. It's very, very unique. You also have to add in the pudding style keycaps, which are PBT. Those are going to cost more to make. I think if you're looking for something that's going to stand out on your desk, you really do dig like the futuristic design, this is going to be the keyboard that you like. It performed really great. Didn't have any issues, whether I used it wired or wirelessly. No issues at all. And like I said, it feels good, sounds good. I gave it a 9 out of 10. One, there's only one switch option, which is weird to only have one option for your switches. It is hot swappable, but out of the box, there's only one switch option. And the software, like I said, just could be a little bit better in my opinion. Let's see if this one came up yet. So this one is really cool. So this is their Battle Worn Yellow, and it is like battle worn. Like, it's, why can I?
Yeah, the futuristic look. It's like, you know, it got sent to some planet to like work and do, you know, construction or something, and it's just like been beat up. But yeah, I like all the colorways on this thing, really.
Yeah, it's just really cool. It's just a cool and unique keyboard. It is going to cost you. It's going to be $200, but if you want something that's going to stand out, I mean, again, this is that yellow colorway, which I think looks excellent. But yeah, overall, just super, super cool keyboard. So like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. If you guys are interested, of course, check out the review. But yeah, just a really cool keyboard. And I'm kind of bummed that I'm not using it right now because I'm testing another keyboard. But it might be the one that remains on my desk. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Moving on, Ryan took a look at a AIO from a brand called Soma.
See if we can. I have it shared.
There we go.
Cool. Yeah, so a brand called Soma, which I think this was our first product in from them, correct? Did you do an air cooler from them? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is my first product, I should say, from Soma. And it is their L70 360WH, so 360 millimeter white version. They do offer this in black and white, and also in those same two colors in a 240 millimeter size as well. So you got a couple options there for your sizing and colors. But let's just jump right to the unit itself. Pretty straightforward.
It is worth noting, not to interrupt you, but Sama has been an OEM for a bunch of other brands. So what that means is they essentially manufacture the product, and they'll stick like an MSI or whatever on their products. But now they've decided to release their own products under their own name. And you can mostly find them on Amazon, at least currently.
Yep. So it's really a pretty straightforward all-in-one cooler. You're not going to have an LCD here. It's very affordable as well. So that's kind of, you know, an affordable but pretty, you know, full of features that you expect maybe from a higher end cooler. ARGB fans, they're pre-installed, they're daisy chained. You got some ARGB lighting on the pump housing as well, but you're not going to get like an LCD display or anything like that with this. There's also no software control. So it's just utilizing, you know, those headers on your motherboard for PWM control of the pump and fans, and then a 3-pin for the RGB lighting, whether you use a controller or your motherboard. But yeah, it's just a pretty straightforward cooler here. Everything on here was nice, bright white. Color matching was pretty good. A lot of times I look for that on white products because that seems to be like you get the most discrepancy between component colors. And it can really make things look kind of funky. Sometimes a white color can look cream or yellowish compared to other components, but this has a pretty good, you know, just overall same color look, which I like.
Nice.
And you can tell that a lot more compared to like a black cooler, right? The black doesn't show it as much. So I always like when they look nice. Nothing too flashy on any of the components, really. It's a standard 27 millimeter thick radiator. So pretty much the standard that you see from most of those vendors that offer a AIO radiator here. It is just slightly less fin dense. It has 20 fins per inch compared to like 21 and 22. I try and be pretty accurate and like count multiple times to make sure. But what that usually means is, you know, there's less fins per inch between all of the channels here. And so you have more potential for just freer flowing air through there, right? You get more denser fins in there, and it's a lot tighter for that air to flow through. So then you need a fan that's typically has the power to push air through those tighter fins. So this one has a little less fin density, and that's probably good because the fans, the specifications on them, they have 2.85 millimeters of static pressure at their maximum speed. And that's quite a bit lower than a lot of the other fans we've looked at. So it's good that the fin density on this cooler isn't super dense. Like I mentioned, they are ARGB fans. They're pre-wired, pre-mounted to the radiator. So it's just one of those steps that you don't have to take during installation. They're already there. They're already connected. Just saves you some time. It's not like a pain, but it's like putting in those 12 screws for the fans. Yeah. Just like, come on.
Especially for a beginner.
Yes. Yeah. And some people like, I know, I remember, you know, working with my first AIOs, I was like, well, I don't want to put this screw in too far and, you know, like puncture something, right? Yeah. If you understand the layout of them, you're not going to puncture the channels. You may bend some of the fins a little bit, but you don't have to worry about that with this. Just your standard crimped connections for attaching the tubes to the radiator. They're nothing fancy, but pretty standard setup. And then here's a quick look at that pump housing. It's got like this glossy, clear plastic cap to it that covers the whole pump housing. And then underneath it is that white plastic. And then like an angled infinity mirror wedge chunk, I guess you could say, that's taken out of it. It's kind of hard to explain until you like actually see it. And it's also hard to photograph because it's very reflective and glossy.
But you got some good pictures of it.
Yeah, I've got some other shots coming up here. But, you know, standard swivel fittings on the pump housing here. That way you can rotate them quite a bit to gain some flexibility on your installation, depending on, you know, whether you're mounting the radiator at the top of your case, the front of your case, and just how you need to orient those tubes. Here's another shot. One thing I do like is that the mounting hardware for this is permanently attached to the pump housing. It has some pluses and minuses, right? It's one less thing you have to worry about when installing. So it's going to be compatible with AMD and Intel systems. You don't have to swap a bracket out to fit either platform. But it kind of means you have to put the pump on in a certain orientation. And that means the tubes have to come out of the right side of the pump housing, whereas a lot of other AIOs, you can kind of rotate it in 90 degree increments to fit your installation needs and just, you know, looks and things like that. So pluses and minuses there. I was a little worried about the base of this cooler. This is right after peeling that sticker off, and it just seemed like dingy and like, I don't know. Some of these you peel off and you're like, wow, this is like really clean and nice. It just looked dirty, whether the sticker like left some residue. I wiped it off and it just didn't have the best finish to it. So that had me a little bit worried with this. Turns out it's fine, but just not as, I don't know, quality assurance there, in my opinion. There's another look at that pre-mounted hardware. Again, some pretty straightforward basic fans with ARGB lighting on them. We do have rubber pads at the corner of each one to just reduce vibration sounds and things like that between the fans and the radiator. And as I mentioned, they are pre-wired and daisy chained together. I like how they do that as well, though, because there's no cables outside the frame of
the
fans, right? Some fans are like, they're daisy chained together, but the cable goes like in between on the outside. This, it's all hidden in between, and just is a really clean look. Cleans things up quite a bit. Installation, super easy and straightforward. Like nothing special here with installing. Again, those fans are already mounted in a push configuration, so no changes there. Your mounting hardware is already built into the pump housing. In my AMD installation case, you do have to take off the factory plastic brackets from the motherboard. Then you just put on these little screws.
Yeah, you can call them spacers.
Spacers, thank you. I was spacer blanking screws. On the word. Some spacer screws. Then you mount a bracket on top of that and tighten it in, and that gives you access to the two screws that you're going to use for the mounting hardware that's on the pump housing. And then you just tighten that on there, and you are good to go. That's a just quick shot from the front, and then that's what it looks like installed in my test system, just not powered on or anything. So again, really straightforward, basic design, nothing crazy with the install or anything like that. But let's get over to the testing. Idle temperatures weren't amazing. They're kind of at the top end of our temperature settings. So we do testing at multiple RPMs just to kind of give all these coolers a standard set of speed ratings and temperatures. In the idle, it was essentially one of our warmest coolers. Now, one thing I do want to mention is the fans on this don't go down to 500 RPMs. They kind of have a limited RPM range of right around 800 to 2300 RPM. So you'll see that on our 500 RPM graph, there's actually not an entry there for these fans because they won't spin down that low. So if you're wanting to get something super quiet, they're not going to spin down below or about 800 RPM. So just keep that in mind there with these fans. But I will say that it's actually pretty quiet even at higher temperatures. The sound of these fans actually is pretty good in our testing. But when you move over to putting a load onto this cooler, it actually performs pretty well. It's kind of mid-range, right? Which isn't necessarily what I had expected from this cooler, being that it's a pretty budget-minded cooler. We'll get to the price here in a minute. But it did pretty well. Mid-range temperatures in our range of coolers that we've looked at so far in this test system, which I did like quite a bit. So that was good there. 1500 RPMs though, it was actually the coolest one at that fan setting, which has been kind of like this nice point of performance to sound in a lot of these coolers. So I did like that it was performing well at that speed. And then you'll see here again, kind of mid-range performance as far as noise goes on these fans. So mid-range, when it's under a load, idle temperatures, runs a little warm. And then the lighting here, as soon as you get some lighting on this, you'll actually see that there's kind of a hidden pattern that shows up in that infinity mirror, which I like. Just adds kind of a cool look there, these like, you know, square shapes. Infinity mirrors can look really pretty cool on coolers. It's a cool feature that I don't think adds a lot of cost. Still looks cool. Not as obviously custom and amazing as like an LCD screen, but better than just nothing or just a ring of light. So I like the look of these here. So just a couple glamour shots. One thing I did have an issue with, though, is one of the fans, the middle fan on the radiator, actually had an LED that was kind of like stuck in this purple mode, at least in certain colors that the fans were trying to display. So if it was like all red or even like green or blue, you wouldn't notice it. But as soon as you went to like a white or some other shades, it's like one of these LEDs had an issue with one of the color components on it. I couldn't get it to reset or,
that's weird,
or to fix itself. So, you know, probably just an issue with that one fan from the factory. But when you had it on like rainbow setting or something, you don't even notice it or see it.
Yeah.
So just something I noticed when it was all white or a couple other just static colors there. Another shot there. I did give this a 7 out of 10. Now, the reason I did that is those fans, that fan range, I really wanted to see more range with those, right? Only going down to 800 is kind of low. There's also no software control here on this, but on the positive side, it's only $70, $69.99. You're getting three ARGB fans, you're getting ARGB lighting on the pump housing, and then you're getting kind of like mid-range performance out of this. And it doesn't make a ton of noise. So I just wanted a little more out of this, but I think it's a pretty overall, like when you consider everything, a good budget option.
Nice.
Yeah. For cooling your CPU.
Yeah. I think that's a good price. 70 bucks for a 300.
Yeah. 70 bucks is great. You know, some of those other coolers we've looked at in those charts are like double or more. Right. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. So I definitely like the price there on that. So,
yep.
Definitely check out the review if you are interested in that. And like I said, Sama's pretty new, but they have a bunch of products on Amazon, and that's their whole thing, is being like very affordable. So if you're looking to do something and you're not looking for the crazy thing with the LCD or whatever it may be, they're going to be quite affordable on there as well. So moving on to CaseMod Friday, we have this build right here. So this is the Haven HS420 stealth build. Of course, it's in the Haven HS420, which is an incredibly popular case. And this is from Modding Cafe. And this is called stealth because it really is stealth. They're using the stealth water block. Even the water block on the GPU, like the connectors, or the water cooling connectors just come out from the side, and it's just like very stealthy. Not a lot of cables. They're using a back connect motherboard here as well. So like no cables. What do you think of like the no cables?
It looks good. I like it. At first I wasn't sure like how much I was going to like the stealth look of the motherboards, but it's turning out to be pretty cool, I think. Gives you a lot of new options in builds. I like the color scheme. The dog theme is kind of cool too. It always amazes me. It seems like whenever we have like that champagne or yellowish color in builds and they have a big reservoir like that, it like makes the bubbles just like pop for some reason. And whether that's on purpose or not, I just think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's just like a cool, it just makes that look really, really cool. And the white, like a white with this case just looks really, really good too. Yep.
And they're using those LCD fans as well. So they got screen on the center hub.
Yeah.
Old man says it's the first time he's seen a corgi themed build. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a corgi.
I think I've seen a couple other ones, possibly, but yeah, this one's kind of funny. With all of that. But I just like how clean it is. Like,
it is very clean, yeah.
It's super, super clean. And that's one of my favorite things about it. And now that we do, and I believe Modding Cafe is part of the people who designed the stealth CPU block. And if you guys don't know how this works, the actual holes here, that's where the water goes through.
Yeah, runs through your motherboard.
Yeah, runs through
CPU your cooler mount holes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And that just makes the build. I mean, if you look at it, like not having anything going, you know, not having the tubing going to the CPU is just, yeah, super, super clean. So shout out to Modding Cafe for this. We have all their stuff linked in that if you want to go ahead and check that out. Ryan, it's the holidays.
Yep, getting there.
What does that mean?
A lot of things. I don't know.
It means that it's contest giveaway time. We got to give stuff away. Yeah. So we're doing another gift card of your choice giveaway. So this is completely worldwide contest. Anybody can enter. And instead of we've done for like the past couple of years, we've done like $50. I decided we're going to up it to $100. So it's a $100 gift card. Wherever I can buy you a gift card, we'll get you that gift card. So that's what we're doing. Super easy to enter. All of our contests, we do them through Gleam. So you just, you know, you get here. You have to subscribe to the email newsletter. If you're not subscribed, you're...
And stay subscribed.
Yeah, stay subscribed. So like we said this in our previous contest, because there have been previous contest winners where like they win and then I look up their email address and they're not subscribed to the email newsletter. So once you subscribe to the email newsletter, stay subscribed. This one is going through November. It ends on Black Friday, so I can get you the gift card on Black Friday so you can make use of it over the Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. And then we'll probably do another one in December as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Now, whenever you go through this and enter your information, there's 20 different ways to enter. And one of those ways is a secret code for our podcast listeners. So for everybody listening to the podcast and everybody watching the podcast, there's a secret code that's going to give you two more entries into this contest. And that code is PodHoliday100, all one word, just like you see on the screen, all capital. So if you put that in when you're doing your entry or even later, so if you've already entered the contest and you can go back into your entry and or just bring the page back up and you'll see all your entries. It's there now. And it says, like I said, it says, I forget what I put it, but it says secret code for podcast listeners. I believe that's what it says. And that's cool. That's a code. So get it in. Like I said, we want to give something back to you guys. And the good thing about this one too is it's completely worldwide. So whatever country you're in, as long as I can buy you a gift card to somewhere, we'll go ahead and do that. Most people want the Amazon. And I think like the last like 3 or 4 winners were Amazon. I think I got a Newegg one from some, I forget. But most, like I said, most people just want the Amazon gift card. But just something to get back to you guys. So get your entries in. We've only had this open for like a day, and we have 8,000 entries. So
yeah, I saw that. That's a lot.
Yeah, great. A lot of people want this one. So because you get to pick what you want. That's the best thing, right? So yeah, very, very cool. So we'll move on from there to news. It looks like AMD is going to be releasing a Ryzen 7 9700X 3D.
Seems good.
More affordable, 8-core, 16-thread. Of course, it's going to be an X3D part. You know, we already talked about the Ryzen 7 5700X 3D as well. I think this is going to be their CES thing, right? CES is coming up in January. We're not going to get new processors on the desktop side. So I think this is just going to be more affordable options in the X3D range. I'm all for it. I'm a huge fan of the X3D range. And getting more options within different price points is definitely going to be a good thing. What do you think of this? And there's already a leaked benchmark. So
of course,
it has to be real, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for like, you know, supporting this platform a little longer, given a couple more options. It doesn't feel rushed or crammed, in my opinion, right? Sometimes we get upset with too many options, but a lot of times they're like too many options too soon. This feels like good timing. I'm good with this.
Yeah, like I said, I like having more options. And again, it's not like they're putting out a non X3D part. Like this is an X, so it's
right.
It has a specific purpose, and I think just giving us more options in the X3D range is definitely nice. So, you know, I might be upgrading to the next 3D part. We were talking about this, but
yeah, be good.
Yeah, so I might be doing a little upgrade of my own. We'll talk about that later. Also on the CPU side of things, Intel's Panther Lake. We already talked about all of the, I believe it was last week or the week before, we talked about the product names and then the actual core configurations. Now we have all the frequencies. So the flagship is going to be up to 5.1 gigahertz. So again, this is on the mobile side of things. So just keep that in mind. These are not desktop parts. But yeah, the Core Ultra 9, the Core Ultra X9 388H. Is that how you would say that? Or do you say 388H? Like how did
388H is what I would say.
Core Ultra X9 388H. So that's going to be 16 core total, 5.1 gigahertz on that. We have all the configurations here. I think these are going to make for pretty good laptop parts.
Yeah, I mean, power efficiency is super important. I know at work, like, battery life is such an important piece to people's laptops. And anytime you can get more efficient with those, you know, E-cores and LPE cores, we'll take it.
And these are going to have new graphics on them as well. So yeah. If you're doing some, you know, just some other thing, you're going to have a little bit more graphics support on these as well. Is this going to be a big thing? I think we're going to see a lot of this at CES, a lot of new laptops based on these. So that'd be kind of exciting. But we have all the frequencies there if you want to check it out. If you're maybe in the, you know, going to be looking at a new laptop, and this will give you an idea of kind of what CPU configurations will be available in 2026. Yeah, that 12VH PWR power connector is still melting. Ugh. And this one was on a Radeon RX 9070 yeah. XT. Somebody posted it on Reddit from Sapphire. And that's, you know, this is what happened to it. Man, that's just like a sad day.
What are these fans here? Bark Rock?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. I know. That's why I'm like, nah, maybe we got some other shady components in this build. That's,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happened again. Some of these are user error. Some of them are not. Do you think that we still have too much power going through that one connector?
Possibly. Now, on this, was this story the one where they had been running it for a while and then noticed that they're having issues? Or maybe I had seen another story where someone
it was using an adapter. I know that. So it was using the 3x 8-pin adapter.
Yeah.
Which I actually use all the time on test bench. So
uh-oh.
But I haven't had issues with it. But yeah, it's like I said, I just like in with like the power spike, because that does happen. Yeah, I mean,
well, and I don't know. Not a great design, I think.
Do you just think there's just too much power going through there?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Just to see like more and more cards, not just NVIDIA cards, AMD cards that have this connector are still having.
I mean, we've seen this much power running through other connectors in the past and not had this issue. You know what I mean?
This one on what?
Like if you have multiple like 8-pin, right? Like we've run a lot of power through.
But like that's multiple 8-pin. This one connector.
That's true.
Yeah. So like if you would spread this out, it wouldn't be as
most likely. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just interesting. We have the link to Reddit where this all happened if you want to know more. But yeah, just an interesting it's an interesting thing that's still going on. Old Man says he has a PNY 5080. He hasn't had any problems, even used the adapter supplied with a card. Yeah, I mean, I've used the adapters.
Do you have a straight connection from the motherboard to the, or power supply to the GPU? I'm not using any.
Yeah, it just all depends, honestly. And again, a lot of it's just like, it could be just be like a weird power spike that's just like, with any electronic equipment that can happen, you know, and that's where like a lot of these happen. It's just like, it's a weird power spike and then it just fries it, you know, but they're supposed to be, they're supposed to be, fail safes so that doesn't
circuitry
happen
and everything there. Yeah.
Yeah. In the connector. So that doesn't happen, but obviously that that's happening. So it's pretty interesting. Moving on from there though, Apple's always like, when it comes to like Apple laptops, like MacBook and MacBook Pro, they're pretty like high end devices, right?
Yeah.
Even just the, like even the MacBook Air and everything, like they're priced for what's in, especially for what's inside, like they're priced.
Yeah. They're not budget devices.
They're not budget devices. Well, it looks like Apple is going to make a sort of Chromebook, like Chromebook style device, for 2026 using like an A17 chip that's in the iPhone, which makes sense, to be honest, for a more affordable MacBook. I like this. I think that Chromebook market, especially in like the educational space where kids are using Chromebooks, like that could be a massive market.
But the thing is, what goes along with those Chromebooks is the whole Google ecosphere, right? The Gmail, the docs, the everything there. Like Apple doesn't have that. I think that's where they'll struggle.
But like, don't a lot of schools use iPads, so they have to have something.
I don't know if they really do anymore.
I don't know.
I think back in the day before Chromebooks really took off, there were a lot.
Maybe they're trying to bring that back, right? With this,
maybe. Yeah,
and with how expensive things have gotten, like, $700 or less, second half of 2026. I mean, yeah, I like it. I like more affordable tech, you know, especially like you see these, like even the MacBook and the MacBook Pro, like a lot of people are just like browsing the internet.
Right. You don't need all the hardware.
Yeah. You don't need all of that. So I'm a fan. Like I said, as long as it's not like, the netbooks, cause those were useless. Those were completely
the old Acer
useless.
Netbook. Yep.
Yeah, those were useless. And then the super low cost for like, it was the one that had the crank on it. Like that laptop was useless.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm like, you can do so much on my iPhone. Like if it's the same power as my iPhone, but it's in a desktop experience, like I'm a fan of that for just browsing TikTok, whatever you're doing. Like I'm definitely a fan of that.
Yeah, the OLPC was the one with the crank and the one laptop per child.
Yeah, that's what it was. We actually reviewed that back in the day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we talked about this on the podcast, and I made a video on it too, on our social media. Like when you hit update and like when you go to restart your computer, especially when it's like at this screen where it's like update and shut down.
Yeah.
It's never updated and shut down. It just like updates and restarts. So like
now and then you'll get lucky and it does, but yeah.
Yeah. And literally the other night I shut down my computer and it restarted. It did not shut down.
I had it too on this test bench. It was like the other night I was working on it and I knew that this was coming. Like they had fixed it. It hasn't been pushed to everything yet though. Right. So I was like, oh, I wonder
if this is open. This one's the update and shutdown bug. So this one again is when you have an update ready to roll out, you'll see this when you go to shutdown. It would be update and shutdown or update and restart. If you hit update and shutdown, it would never shut down. Just doesn't do it. Now they apparently fixed it. Like how is this like, again, this is a decade old bug.
Last this long. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe somebody got in there and it's like, hey, we need to fix all these problems. Like what's wrong? Like what's going on here? But this will be pushed out if you haven't got it yet. just like these little things that like they kind of just like let go. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's, I can't think of any others at the moment, but yeah, just those things that drag on and on
forever for a long time. Yeah. That's definitely one of them. So hopefully it's fixed. We'll see. Talking about Windows 11, we also talked about how they've really buckled down on bypassing having to log in when you install Windows 11.
Correct.
You know, I told you guys that you have to get an older version of Windows and do the bypass NRO, you know, and then update Windows when you get it installed. But a YouTuber who goes by the name, what is it here? Why can't I find it? I'll just bring it up, open his channel up. But he made a tutorial on how to bypass it. Cyber CPU Tech. So check out his channel. All the videos are linked. And he made a video on how to bypass it again, because you could do the bypass NRO and then they patched that before they patched the shutdown and restart. They patched that, and then there was another bypass that they patched again. Well, he showed another way to bypass it, and he made a YouTube video about it. And then YouTube flagged his video, and they flagged it for harmful or dangerous content that would risk serious physical harm or death.
Yeah.
That's the reason that they gave him. And this goes back to like all the censorship we saw, I would say, during COVID and all of that. Like,
yep.
You know, was somebody at Microsoft like calling YouTube like, hey, take this video down?
I wouldn't. Yeah, probably.
Because he's just showing you something that you can like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the censorship.
No, I'm not. I'm
like,
not
I could see if it's like showing you how to like, I don't even want to say it on because it might flag this video. But like, if you were doing something incredibly, you know, bad, but for like a tech tutorial on how to bypass a
login setting that is even like the fact that you have to do it anyways, like the reasoning behind it is kind of up for debate as well, right? How important it is to move away from local accounts and make you sign into a Windows or a Microsoft account.
So he put one up, it was taken down, and he thought it was like the algorithm, like AI algorithm. So he made another one, different video, and it took that one down. And he hasn't really been able to like get to a person at YouTube, I guess. But it is frustrating. I'd say that.
Yeah.
It's like for him as the creator, that's like very frustrating when you're like trying to create useful content and then it's getting flagged and you're like, I didn't do anything. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah, definitely. This, I'm not a fan of that, but we have all this stuff in the article if you want to check that out, but I'm definitely not a fan of that. It is the holidays and we're giving you guys a gift card, and there's a new bundle from Intel, which is up to $280 in games and software when you buy an Intel CPU, GPU, or laptop featuring those things. So this is their, like I said, their holiday bundle. There's a standard and premium bundle. Games do include Battlefield 6, which is awesome.
Yeah, $70.
And Assassin's Creed Shadows, which again is also good. You get to pick one of four games. And again, there's a full list. I think in the Tom's Hardware article, they have a full list. There's also a bunch of free software as well. With the offer. So here's like the brands and the retailers and all the information. But if you're like on Black Friday planning to buy an Intel CPU or an Arc GPU or even a laptop featuring an Intel CPU, which is more than likely, you could get some free stuff. I'm definitely a fan of that. And it's interesting to see Intel do it. And it's not, it's, it could be any of those things. It doesn't, it's not just for GPUs. It's not just for CPUs. And it's not just for like buying a laptop. It's for all of it. So yeah, I'm definitely a fan of that.
Yeah, bundle games are always nice.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see NVIDIA or AMD get a little bundle action for the holiday as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice for some Black Friday deals or something.
Yeah, or something like that. So shout out to Intel. Definitely a fan of that. Steam Deck OLED specifically. What's the biggest problem with OLED devices, Ryan?
Burn-in?
Burn-in is the thing. And when you're downloading a game on Steam Deck, the download screen just is on your Steam Deck and could possibly cause burn-in. You know, it's going to look like this.
Right.
Now they finally added where the screen will turn off during downloads.
That's good.
Yeah.
You think it's going to do some of that in the background and not have to just show a bar? But yeah. I don't have a Steam Deck and know how it operates. So,
yeah. So you can download this update for the Steam Deck to do that. Definitely a fan. Just in general, even like turning that display off while you're downloading just to save battery. So
nobody needs to watch that bar move across. And
sometimes you just wait.
I know.
You know, so definitely nice to see that. Long awaited, I would say, especially again if you are getting burn in on the that would suck.
Yeah,
Old Man says if you turn down the brightness during static image, it helps mitigate burn in. Yeah, definitely does. Mm-hmm. It's nice that all the new monitors have like the OLED care and all that, where like they have all these things going on to prevent burn in. So we talked about the new Halo game that's coming out, which is basically a reimagining, or not just like a replay of the campaign from the original game, which is a great campaign, honestly. It looks like there's going to be Halo 2 and 3 as well. Okay. Going to be remade. It's just like, and I haven't gone into it. I don't know if you've read anything, but like they're saying that they're just using AI to remake the game.
Oh man.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what people were saying. So this is like an easy win for them for like all the nostalgia. Let's just, we don't need a whole bunch of like, I don't know if that's true. So yeah, but if that is true.
Run it through an upscaler and push it out.
Yeah. Or whatever. But the thing is like, especially Halo 2, if they do hit, like there's no multiplayer.
Huh?
Which is like one of the, that was like, Halo 2 multiplayer was like epic. This is a rumor, but it's going to be campaign only remake. If it is a campaign only remake, they can't sell it for much.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it kind of depends on like, does it functionally, is it the exact same as Halo 2 and Halo 3, and is it just like graphics updates, or are there like things that, you know, like movement and things like that are changed? Because then it's, you know, that's kind of it's a different game at that point. Because I'm not a big fan of like a remake where it's exactly the same except it's got a, you know, a new texture pack or something on it. If it has different, I don't know, feels different and everything, I could be behind it, I guess.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And honestly, we'll just skip to the question of the week, which is like, if there is a remake of a game, should it include multiplayer?
I don't know.
If it's like a game that's known for multiplayer.
Right. I guess it depends on, do you have a current title as well? Because what's like the most recent Halo? It's like,
I don't know.
Evolution. I don't know what it's called. Anyways, whatever, like if you have a current game out and you're releasing this, like are you scavenging all your players that want that nostalgia hit or just want to experience it, taken away from your current game that, you know, is making you money? Then you're like split your player base between the two. But if you're like, if Halo, you know, if there hadn't been a Halo title in 10 years and you bring this out, and you keep it without multiplayer, that's just a mistake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think that, like, especially Halo 2 multiplayer, like, people want to replay those maps and they want that movement and they want, like, that was what made the game awesome.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is, like, if you change that, the way it moves and feels, like, people want to play that version of it. Maybe it looks better, but they don't want it to play, like, with the current movement feel, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I don't know. But I do feel, and it's just, like, in the back of my head, that, like, these remakes, like, they're going to be very much, like, AI-made, sort of, and, like, just a run through the campaign, and it's just a money grab, and an easy money grab for the game companies, right? And not offering the multiplayer, not offering anything else, really. You know what I mean? Old man in the chat says, if they use AI to upscale it, it will be evident with the text in the game textures. It was obvious in the GTA remake. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's just like, these are just like money grabs for these companies. So we'll see. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I have a full-on gaming PC, which I'm actually going to be gaming on tonight as we move over to Twitch. This one is one you can go to the store and buy. So it's only available at Best Buy. So,
okay.
So what will be good is we'll give you an idea of what, you know, maybe this is something you want to pick up during Black Friday, or you're somebody who's like, it's from CyberPower PC, and like, you can go to CyberPower PC's website and like configure your own system, but like, maybe you don't know what you're doing and it's just like complicated and you're just like, I just want to buy, just like, give me a system. I just want to buy this one. Yep. So this is their gaming desktop. This is their gamer. What are they calling this? The Gamer Supreme. There's a bunch of different Gamer Supremes. So, but this one has a Ryzen 7 9800X3D, RTX 5070, 32 gigabytes of DDR5, 2 terabyte NVMe SSD. It's sitting right over here because that's where I'm going to be playing it. But yeah, it'd be pretty cool to check this out. I haven't taken a look at a CyberPower system in a while. And we just did that Lenovo one, which had the 5080 in it. So this would be a nice little comparison to see how pre-builts are shaping up. Fun to go ahead and check that out. I'm also taking a look at the mouse I'm currently using, which is the new Glorious Model 3, which has replaceable batteries. So it's like, they are marketing it as an Infinity mouse. Like, it's Infinity. Like
a hot swap.
It's Infinity battery. So yeah, really nice mouse. Even with the replaceable batteries, it's pretty light as well. 66 grams, not super light, but definitely light. And I've been using it for like a week, and I really like it so far. So I'll have that for you guys as well. Ryan might have a review too. We'll see how that all goes, but lots of stuff going on. We have a ton of video content coming out. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. But yeah, anything else tech related you wanted to talk about, Ryan? Old man in the chat says, Felix the Reaper will be free on Epic tomorrow at 10 a.m. November 6th. Definitely stay tuned for that.
No, Arc Raiders. I want to maybe check that game out. It looks kind of cool.
Is that free to play?
No, but it's actually pretty affordable. I think it's like $40.
Okay.
So, but it looks fun. It's like a PvPvE style game.
Yeah, I saw some people playing it. It did look good.
Yeah.
But I haven't had the chance to play or do any of that. Yeah, nothing on my end. I'm just like a bunch of reviews, bunch of trying to get stuff done for the holiday season. So getting into CES scheduling for January. So we'll be at CES. Ryan unfortunately won't be there. I'll be there sending Ryan all the, I don't know, I'll send Ryan and send him, like, look at this cool stuff. Look at this cool stuff. So definitely just super, super busy in the holiday season. But we are going to be gaming, as I said, over on Twitch. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We just switch our streams over to there because that's where we do all of our gaming streams exclusively. And of course, Ryan runs that stream. So if the person on the screen is doing really bad, it's like, oh, you can't aim. It's Ryan. It's not me. So he will have that stream up momentarily. And we'll get into some Battlefield. And like I said, I'll be playing on the CyberPower system. So that'll be kind of fun to see how that does. in Battlefield. So definitely stay tuned for that. And like I said, if you want to keep on hanging out, that's where we'll be. And until next week, we will catch you guys later.